more tax credits save LA's film industry.
One thing is obvious to anyone. The industry here is increasingly on life support.
If you are just getting into the industry, I suggest you run.
It's October 28th. This is the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm Alex Silverman.
The people who are impacted when we lose production are the people who go to work in a pickup truck, not a limousine.
We'll dig into it. Plus, a man kills three of his roommates by fire.
The suspect actually approached detectives outside the home where the fire had been raging, and he tried to communicate that, yes, he did it.
And the kid who got the walk-off Grand Slam ball, could you imagine how much you could get for it?
I'm probably not going to sell it, but I really have no idea.
All coming up, but first, this. Hey, if you're listening to this in an article on KNXnews.com, go right now to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, search for the LA Local, hit follow, and you'll get an update every weekday afternoon on everything you need to know that's happening in Southern California, and the morning and evening updates, too, from our colleagues at KNX News. The strikes last year kind of sped up the realization of what we should have seen coming. The California film industry is in trouble. Governor Newsom has a proposal, a gamble, really, to try and put California back ahead of other states in the fight to attract production projects. Here's Pete Demetrio explaining what the governor announced over the weekend.
The proposed increase in the tax credit from $330 million to $750 million is a jump of 127%. Newsom believes the state's finances and potential deficits are at levels to where the program is affordable, and this is the time to act.
One thing is obvious to anyone. The industry here is increasingly on life support, and it needs a pattern interrupt. We need to jolt, and you know, people looking to leave. The email box over the last few months has been next level, because I do think there was an expectation that things were going to turn around after some of the labor unrest, and it didn't materialize. And now people are sort of getting in despair, a little panic. And that's why I answer a question you haven't asked, why I want to do it now.
While it could put California in a better position to draw entertainment production away from Georgia or New York or New Mexico or Utah, he's under no illusions about long-term effectiveness.
We got a lot of work to do, and so I don't want to overpromise that this is, quote-unquote, the only solution. Clearly, we have a lot of other ideas that need to be brought to bear.
The governor says he thinks he has the votes in the legislature to incorporate this tax credit program into the plans for the budget next year, which come out in January. But of course, nothing in Sacramento is guaranteed. We talked about Newsom's plan with the former L.A. City Council President Paul Krikorian.
If other states are offering much more advantageous incentives, then even with our built-in advantages, we will lose much of that production to other places. And when production moves to another state or to another country, we lose all of the middle-class jobs that come with that. It doesn't matter to the A-list actors or the big-name producers or directors. They will go wherever the production is. The people who are impacted when we lose production are the grips and the carpenters and the electricians, the people who go to work in a pickup truck, not a limousine.
Greg Bilson Jr. owns ISS Props. They have anything you'd want, from a 50-0 phone to fake medical supplies. He thinks Newsom's $750 million a year in tax cuts will give the entertainment industry a much-needed shot in the arm.
This is all below-the-line costs, which are directly spent in local vendors and in businesses all over California. If I were them, I would make it $1 billion. I would make it unlimited to let people know we're serious about keeping the film and television industry rooted in California.
But not everyone is so optimistic. Ricky Gastillo is a longtime union camera operator who typically works on several shows a year. He says the jobs have all but dried up.
If you're on these major network shows, they are still hanging in there. Some hanging by a thread, but getting enough good ratings to continue season after season. But if you are just getting into the industry, I suggest you run and find another direction, because we're not doing well. A lot of us are suffering pretty hard with our career, and it'll never be back the way it was. I'm pretty convinced.
Gastillo also said many in the industry are thinking about a career change.
That's Emily Valdez gathering perspectives and reaction to the governor's plan. Turns out a house fire that killed three people, badly hurt two others in Temple City, was murder. My colleague John Baird was on the scene all morning.
The suspect actually approached detectives outside the home where the fire had been raging, and he tried to communicate that, yes, he did it. Homicide Lieutenant Hugo Reynaga.
While deputies were containing the crime scene, the suspect approached one of the deputies and kind of with hand gestures indicated that he was the one that lit the fire.
The lieutenant said they then got a Mandarin translator on the phone and were able to confirm that the suspect was, in fact, the person responsible for setting the fire.
It's always surprising when a suspect comes out the day of the incident and admits to committing the horrible crime, right? But we're thankful that he did contact our deputies in the field and let them know that he was responsible for it.
The 64-year-old suspect is now in the county jail. Lieutenant Reynaga says the reason given for setting the fire was an argument over some property owed to the suspect.
Back to Pete now in Burbank, where thieves stole about $80,000 worth of rare comic books from a store in a matter of minutes.
Burglary took place early Sunday morning at the House of Secrets store, and among the items taken, a Spider-Man issue number 3 worth $11,000, along with other books in the $1,000 plus range. I asked owner Paul Grimshaw.
Is there a way to try to track these things? I mean, with most things, you have serial numbers, whatever. With comics, is it possible?
It is fairly impossible unless you have a signature or something that's, unique.
Registered, if you would.
Yeah, there are some books that are CGC that have a certain grade on it that makes them a little more findable should they appear online. But, I mean, you can also take it out of that and sell it independently.
How do you think these guys are going to try to sell these things? Is there a way? It would be too risky, perhaps, to do it at conventions or something like that.
I mean, get inside the mind of a common criminal. Who the hell knows? The usual sources would be go to my competition, other comic book stores, eBay, flea markets. Just like anything, it's where there's a will, there's a way.
Of course, he's asking collectors and other retailers to be on the lookout if this stolen comic books come through. The Burbank police are looking at traffic camera video to see if they can track down the car that the thieves used. Parking meters are different than they used to be. They used to be mechanical devices, and now they're much more complicated than that. So the people who maintain them in the city of L.A., say that means they should get a raise. Here's Craig Figner talking with Serena Mobley, who is a parking meter tech.
You made a case that parking meters are like little computers now.
They are. Technology changes, monthly, sometimes daily. And so we're constantly learning new things and implementing new processes. And so we should be compensated for that.
So in Los Angeles right now, a parking meter technician, what's the hourly pay?
Starting off at $27.07.
And what do you think it should be? What would be fair pay?
$38 an hour to me is fair. The job currently is based off of 1991 standards. Parking meters were gears, purely mechanical, and now everything is digital and computerized.
Just one of many groups of LA City employees who have been asking for a raise lately. We'll hear from the 10-year-old who got the Grand Slam ball next. It was a 10-year-old from Venice who got his hands on Freddie Freeman's walk-off Grand Slam in Game 1 of the World Series, and he's got a great story to tell at school today. I told KCAL News the ball bounced in front of him, so he leaped right into the dog pile of fans to get the ball. He was on his knees, couldn't quite get to it. So he knocked it over to his dad.
And then he handed it to me. It was the best moment of my life.
So what's Zach going to do with it?
I'm probably not going to sell it, but I really have no idea. All I hope is that I can get Freddie Freeman to sign it.
Till he realizes he could probably pay for his whole college education. He is a dedicated fan of Freddie Freeman's. And get this, his dad told him that day he was going to take him to get his braces off. Instead, took him to the World Series where he caught a grand slam ball from his favorite player. Call that the best day ever. And that's the LA Local for this 28th of October, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. See the inventory, all 14 dealerships at lacarguy.com, 97.1 FM. Ask your smart speaker to play KNX News. Get the Odyssey app. Search for KNX News. Follow the LA Local on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get shows. Spotify too. And we're back tomorrow. I'm Alex Silverman. See ya.